Well, he was a member. When I first met him, he was a member of the church. And so I joined the church in January 25th, 1979. Mm-hmm. So I've been a member of the church about 40.
We got around to this because I asked you what was perhaps one of the more satisfying aspects of living in Le Grand.
Easy. It's very nice. It's comfortable. And I like it. And it's quiet. And you're not at a rat race like you do in the big city.
You're just talking about the general feeling of living in Le Grand.
Yes. And I can drive my car. If I want to go to the store, I can go in peace. Because the traffic, in the city, if you go into the store, because nowadays the stores look like they're 9 miles away from home.
Sure.
And that's the rat race all the time. Got to get up, just steady going. But my boys, Linro lives in Portland, and he graduated from Portland State University. And so he works for UPS, and he's now a manager now. He works in the office there. Mm-hmm. And he got that job when he left Le Grand, when he graduated from high school, because he needed a job to help him through his early years of college.
Yep.
And Johnny, he got a job working at Nordstrom's. He was just cleaning the store. And he said, shucks, I'm going to put this broom down because I could do better than this. So he asked his manager if he could, the store man, if he could sell shoes in the store. So he said, yes, you can, but you got to have a college education, Johnny. So he did. He went to Western Business College. And he graduated from Western Business College. And he got a job as a shoe salesman, a shoes manager, in the store. The customers come up and they want shoes, and he would, try them on, and you know what I mean?
Sure. Yeah. I know what a shoe salesman
does. Yeah. So then later years, he got so good. So they put him as manager, and then he married a girl that he met in Portland, and they got married. She was in the cosmetics department, and had a big wedding and all that. And so then after that, they moved him to, where he is now, in Boston, Massachusetts. Mm-hmm. So now he's president of the firm, Johnny Hawthorne.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He's president of the firm in Boston, Massachusetts. So he's making the big bucks, as I would say. they would have been here, they said, but it's no money here.
Yeah. Well, over the years that you've lived in Union County, what are the main kinds of frustrations you've felt?
I said, now living in a white neighborhood, I wonder how would it feel? Well, I moved over here, and I said, now what's going to happen? Well, you know how you think, what's going to happen? But a funny thing happened. Everybody here greeted me here. They all gave me a party. We had coffee. We sat and we talked, and I was just flabbergasted. And it was just wonderful the way the people around here. And I'm the only black person here in this neighborhood. and I get along with everybody, and they seem to get along with me.
That was a little feeling of anxiety you had that turned out not to
and
be
necessary. Not to be, not to be necessary.
But I asked you about frustrations. Have you felt any frustrations over the years? Other than the normal getting through each day kind of frustrations. No?
I'm a person that don't worry about nothing. I'm a person, if you're going to do it, do it. If you don't, forget it. You know, I'm a person that don't worry. I don't worry. And being in church, I know I'm the only black woman in church. I'm on the Relief Society. They have the Relief Society there. And that's what got me through everything, was the Relief Society. And they would talk. If you want to talk about different things, and I would. And how do you feel being in the Mormon church? And I would tell them that, well, at first I felt kind of funny because I was here. And at that time, I didn't know that they didn't allow blacks in the Mormon church. And I said, well, maybe they just put me here, let me come because I wanted to come. But they just treated me so good.
The Relief Society is oriented to help other people, isn't it?
Yes.
Whatever the needs
Whatever their needs,
clothing.
But I never asked them, Like I told them, I didn't come here because I didn't know what the setup there was. I just went into the church blindfolded.
You don't need the relief, but other people might.
Might, yeah.
So what is it you do in the Relief Society to help other people?
Well, they have a store here in LeGrand. And if something should happen, like your house will catch a fire or you're destituted, but they would have to go through all the channels to see if, you know, you really need help. They have their own welfare. Now, I'm not on their welfare. I get my money straight from the government.
But what do you do to help the Relief Society?
Well, what we do,
you
once a year, we give clothing and food and things like that, mm-hmm. and money.
Do you go out delivering these things?
No, we bring it to the church. And what we do, and it's along about in July and August, they have a free market, not a flea market.
A free market.
Uh-huh. And what they would do, anybody that got good clothing, furniture, or beddings, anything, we would take it down to the church. And anybody, I don't know, outsiders or anybody could come in, and if it's anything they want, like if I want this book, I just pick it up and take it.
Mm-hmm.
That's the way they do.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a rummage sale. You know how rummage sales are.
Yes.
You go and pay, but they don't want no pay.
Mm-hmm.
But if you need it, take it. Mm-hmm. And if you don't need it, leave it.
What is there about the Relief Society that especially satisfies you?
Well, the Relief Society is their talks and how they tells you how to manage, your money, how to even learn you how to like if you're putting money in the bank and then you'll be writing checks, how to manage your banking, that's it, you know. And
practical things.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Teach you how to cook. Teach you how to take care of your own, mm-hmm. you know, things like that. And then they have speakers to come in, talk to you. They even have the police to come in and talk to you about women that are alone, like me and a bunch of other women with singles, and they talk to you about how to, if you're out at night by yourself, and if you're coming out of the church by yourself and going to your car, you look under the car as you walk, because anybody could be up under your car. Never put your foot too far up under the car when you are unlocking it. That's the tell you little senior women. Because somebody could stick you with a knife, and you say, ooh, what's that? And then they grab you and make you unlock your door and push you on in there. Next thing you know, or either they get in your car and take it, things like that. So the police will tell you different steps what to take. And if you're going to be out by yourself, always have two or three ladies together, chaperone, you know, carpooling. Never go out by yourself.
Sounds as though this is advice for a large city.
Uh-huh. Yeah, it is. But it just tells you, even in a small city, not to. And be careful of who you talk to. Be careful who you let in your house. And all that kind of, you know. Mm-hmm.
I get it.
Yeah. Uh-huh. And don't let strangers in your house. And don't make sure your doors are locked. Well, we do that. I've been doing that for years. And then we have our single dinners. And it's a lot of single women today, they don't eat like they should. And so we would cook, and this island city, it's a place right next to Robert's car deal place. And it's the island city, we go out there and eat. They have weddings out there. They have, gatherings and then little things like that out there. If you don't want to get married in the church, they have it. So. And then we have the blue and gold ball dances and amateur hours and all kinds of nice things there at the church.
Apparently, then, much of your life revolves around the activities of the church.
Of the church, yeah. And that'll keep us from going out and getting into trouble, you know.
I don't think that's very likely anyway.
No. And everything is involved around the church, mm-hmm. Yeah. Because in here, they got all kinds of activities that... That they have in here. And Willie and I, we got to work at the temple. Uh-huh. We did work at the temple.
When your children visit here, or when you communicate with them on the telephone, maybe, do they have memories about their lives in the grand?
Oh, yeah. Oh, boy. Some things that they have done, and they just now telling me. I said, well, why didn't you let me know that? And they would just say, well, Mama, we did a lot of bad things you didn't know. They would tell me. And I'm thinking you were real good boys. But, I mean, not real bad,
mischief.
Bad. Yeah, just little mischief things, yeah. So, and the girls, all the girls like my boys. Because they say they were nice boys, they were manable. And they would take the girls to the prom and make sure they get home all right, and they would come home.
Well, do any of them tell you about aspects of living in La Grande that they're sorry about?
They seemed to like it. I mean, when they were growing up, because they said they had a good time when they were in La Grande. Yeah.
Maybe they'd still be here if they could find jobs here.
Yeah, they would. If the jobs were real good and where they could make good money, yeah, they would be here. Yeah. And